fees owed to you, page 71. I'll pick up where we left off, we'll make a little work through the book a little bit. But I'll pick up where we left off last week about reading the Bible as a love letter. I think that's one of the greatest revelations we can have about the Bible, about our approach to the Bible. But our approach to the Bible, it helps me. I don't know about y'all, but it helps me. It helps my study time, my meditation time. And it'll in turn help your preaching. It'll in turn help your ministry time. But it's not, you don't approach it for your ministry time. I always say it every week. You don't approach it to try to get no message. You approach the word because you love God. The best way to get to know somebody is to hear their word. What you do when you get to know somebody, you talk to them, spend time with them. And so when you approach this word, I think it's the power of religion to approach the word of God as the love letter. I know it says as a love letter, but I say approach it as the love letter that it is. You know, everything that we stand on in faith is based upon love, because for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave what? His only begotten Son. He gave Jesus. The only reason we're saved, the only reason we have covenant with him, the only reason we can even have faith right now. The Bible says faith was working by love, right? And so it's all based on that. So now, being a debt, you know, I can go to other scriptures that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, everything you got. And then it says on this, and then the second one is like, love your neighbor as yourself. And it says, on this hangs all the law. And it's all that word hangs on love. Right? And so because, and now the fact that it hangs on that, is based on that, that's the foundation, then you know that you must approach in that same method, or in that same manner. If I don't approach, if you're not approaching the word of God in love, it will not yield its fruit to you. All right? Love gives. All right? If I don't know you love me, I probably won't do much for you either. Come on, talk to me, man. Y'all know, if you don't know somebody loves you, y'all know, if you don't know somebody loves you, you ain't trying to give them your everything. Right? Well, it's the same way. You have to approach. In order to get everything from God, you got to approach him with everything. You got to approach him with your heart. Well, you want to know the heart of God, don't you? You want to know his heart. You want to know what he wants, right? Well, in order to get to that, you've got to approach a certain way. How you approach, it determines how, what measure you meet. And we look at that and we think, I know it's talking about giving, and I understand that, but you know, the root of that thing is love. What measure love you meet, what you're going to give back. And so now what you get out of that word is determined on how much love you bring to it. How much love you bring to it in your approach. You know, drop all your stones. Drop everything you want. Drop all the stuff you're looking for. Drop all these messages. Drop all these revelations you think you got. Drop all this deep stuff and just go there just because you want to talk to them. Just go. When I get up in the morning and then we're going to read, we're going to go to some other things in a minute. But I want to touch on that before on the page. We're on page 72, page 73. It doesn't have 73 on the page, but it's talking about the full version of 1 Corinthians 13. And for the sake of time, we won't read through all of them, but it'll be good for you all to read through all of those versions to see what it talks about. And you can know all these scriptures. You can know them by heart. You can quote scriptures all day long. Have not love, you're just making noise. Really, now in your ministry time, see, what God, before you become a minister, you got to be ministered to. Alright, before you can minister to anybody else, God has to, how you going to tell somebody about Jesus and you don't know him? Alright, so that means you can't come preaching this evangelistic message to me if you ain't been evangelized already. If you don't know Jesus, you can't tell me about Jesus. You cannot be a witness and say you've seen something. Alright? So I cannot be a witness of the love of God, how good God is. I cannot be a witness for somebody to come. When we minister, you know, the whole goal is, you know, tonight, even in the other time of ministry, you come to church, anytime you come to service, the whole goal is for you to get closer to God. But whoever the said minister is at that time, or whoever the person is giving the word, they should be saying something to drive you to get closer to God. To have a better relationship with God. But I can't drive you to have a better relationship with God if I don't have a better. You should be able to look at me and hear the words that's coming from my mouth and hear, feel and sense the love that's coming from me, but it's only because I'm in love already. Are y'all with me? So now I cannot be a witness. I cannot be a minister. I can't administer something. I can't pass it out. When you minister, when you're a minister or something, it comes with administration. You pass it out. I can't pass something out that I ain't got. I can't give you something that I don't have already. And so now it begins on your ministry. Praise the Lord. Thank God for your ministry. Thank God for your call and all that good stuff. But it's going to start with that personal thing. It's going to start with that personal love. It's going to start with you approaching God and loving Him for yourself. Just that, for nothing else. And when you do that on your own, when you learn how to do that, when you master that, then you can teach others. Then your ministry will take form. Then your ministry will have some ground on it because you've done it in yourself. There's a place in the Bible talking about the Word of God got to run its course through you first. It got to run through you first before it can go anywhere else. So I thank God for your ministry, and I believe a good ministry, but it's got to start with that personal devotion. That personal love for nothing else. And I said it a lot last week, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to just sit there and just say it till you get it to your head that you just got to go for nothing. You got to go if he ain't made no promise. You got to go talk to him if he didn't think he was going to protect you. You got to talk to him if he didn't promise you nothing else. I didn't think he was going to give you something back. I didn't think he was going to do this. I didn't think he was going to pour out his spirit upon all of you. If he didn't say it, you still got to go. You get to that point where it don't matter. A lot of people live and die and never get there. A lot of ministers go to school, preach for 40 years, and they finally get it on their 41st year. I think it. Get that grip right now. Get a grip of it right now. Get a grip of it right now. Your ministry ain't nothing until you've been ministered to in love already. All right? I'm keep standing for a reason. You've got to approach in love. You've got to approach for nothing else but Him. You've got to approach, just God, just because I want to know you. Just because you thought enough for me to put this word right here so I should know you, that's all I want. And what God does is God sees the intent. You know about somebody who knows the intent of your heart? That's what He's talking about. He knows what you're here for. You got to check yourself, gut check, break yourself down. Right now, what you in ministry school for? You can't be for the validation. Can't be the validation of call. The only thing that validates your call is the love of God. And the only way, see, there's no other way. Here's Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father, but by me. Right. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father, but by me. Now, you thought that was just because you played the part and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, huh? You thought it was just that, huh? You thought it was just because you got born again. But no, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who? That would say this, right? Who loves. So it means I can't, it's not just about the prayer you pray. I can't get to the Father unless I go like Jesus went. And Jesus said, I love my Father so much, whatever He tells me to do, that's what I do. And I'm just for that. You know, Jesus never went around talking about, hey, you know, I'm Jesus, right? Hey, I'm real. He never went for the accolades or nothing else. It was just that He was doing the will of the Father. It's that He was obedient even unto death. That's how much He loved. I'm just going to do what I'm about to do because I know what I came here for. I ain't coming for all the other stuff. I ain't coming for these people clapping for me. If you were doing this, saying, no, I ain't come all that. You know, when Jesus in America, he always said, go and don't tell nobody what happened. Y'all remember that? He said, I'm about all that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. But by me. No man coming to the Father but like me. So now, there's no other way. You know, there's talking different ways of God. There's no other way to God. There's no other way to God but love. So you're not going to get, you may get a revelation to hear somebody else say, but it's going to be hollow for you. See, the love gives life. The Lord is what gives the life force in that word, in that revelation. All right? And so you can get a revelation here, Reverend Roy Jr. Priest. And you can tell other people there's going to be no power behind it because that power behind it is love. But you can't deliver something that you ain't got. So your approach, I don't care how you approach, I don't care what your approach, it's got to be, the motivation's got to be love. It's got to be God because I love you and I don't want nothing from you, I just want to know you better. If you get God, do you realize if you get God, you get everything that comes with it? God be trying to tell us that, but I don't think we pick it up all the time. He be trying to tell us all through the scriptures. I just want you to seek me. I just want you to come talk to me. Come. Come. We want the one, Isaiah 119 says, you can wear obedience, but the verse before it says, come, let us reason together. He said, come, let us, come talk to me. See, I don't, come talk to me. That's all I want you to do. Because if you talk to me, then that thing that you've been praying and asking me about so much, or that emotion that you've been trying to work up so much, if you come talk to me, I'll drop it off in the conversation. If you spend time with me, it'll rub off on you. If you stay in my presence, it'll be threatening. See, this is work ministry. Work ministry. Work. And try to struggle to work up the anointing. It ain't supposed to be like that. It could be threatening. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden. Like, what yoke is that? That's the yoke of Mary. It's easy. You have two ways you can be. You go like Mary or Martha. Which one you want to be? You give them work the word. I'm doing all this, and I'm declaring this song, but you have not loved you, sounding bad. I'm doing this with my hands, and I start a prayer, and I read all these chapters, but I have not loved, it's nothing. So now I'm running around the house. I told in the last class, you know, you can be Mary or Martha, you know, Jesus was better. Jesus was present for both of them. But it's how you approach. Are you approaching from a work standard? Or do you want to sit at his feet just because? Mary told him, he said, Mary told him that gift thing. And then he said, no, what do you say? And he's taken away from him. See, you hear a revelation now, priest? And now, you know, the Bible talks about the seed, the sower sowed the word. And it says some fall in the thorn, some fall on the ground. And that one part said, they fall, but the enemy immediately come and take it. Right? See the revelation that you hear me preach? If you ain't in love with God already, you can try to take that and go do something with it, and it'll be snatched from you. Because you ain't got it. But see that thing that Mary chose when she sat at Jesus' feet. And I wasn't up trying to work for him, for Jesus to validate me. I need Jesus to lay his hands on me and say, this is my child, who my will please. No, I ain't need that. I need Jesus to stand up. Look at this. This is my son. Look at it. No, I don't need that. I'm just sitting here. Because I know you got something to say, and I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm just excited to see you. Oh, come on now. Come on. I'm just excited that I got a chance to sit there with you. I don't want to know. Everybody all excited, but I'm happy to be here. You know somebody say that? I'm happy to be able to get up in the morning. I want to. And if God don't block you out, I'm happy to be able to get up in the morning and just sit in this presence. And I have to ask them, yeah, I know we need things. I understand that. He said, my God can supply all your needs. He knows that you have need of these things. You think he didn't know? He knows. I'm going to God and ask him for all this different stuff. Talk to him. Get to know him. It's not about what can you do for me, or what have you done for me lately. One man, huh? Ooh, now I ain't gonna say. Just him. Just love, nothing else. That's it. Ain't got enough. I'm just here. That's it. I'm here because you're here. Right? I'm trying to see what you're trying to tell me. I'm trying to read this love letter to see how much you love me. Because you know he loves you more than you love him, right? You know he's always going to love you more than you love him, right? You know your love is never going to match up, right? But I'm going to try, God dog. I'm going to try my best to let him know. For nothing else. Now, this is when you see ministry work. I see it. I want to pray with the Father this morning. We're praying. We had to go visit somebody. We're praying. And I see it. I see it in him all day long. And I just love God. I ain't there for all this stuff. You got people out here going through ministry and trying to do different things, trying to accomplish their goals, trying to build their kingdom, and trying to validate their name, trying to make their legacy, and trying to build whatever they do, you know, make a name for yourself. I don't need no name. I already got the name of Jesus. What I need a name for? What my name going to do? They ain't say, at the name of my soul, every knee to my name. At the name of... Y'all see? So I'm going to tell something for y'all believe I'm in school. I'm going to tell this now. Hey, this is very clear. We out here trying to go do all this different stuff. It's tricky that I'm gonna use this word, man. Y'all bear with me. But the church world industry. I mean, just use it like it is, all right? I've been honest with them, all right? The church world industry is tricky, and they get you out there, have you doing these tricks, and have you doing all these different things, and make you think it's in a growl, make you think it's in a yell. Make you think it's because you know a million and one scriptures. Make you think because you got first an outline. It ain't about none of that. It's all about the love. That's it. We done made it harder than what it is. It all leads back to love. We done made it so difficult. The formula is love. The formula just coming because I'm here because you love me first. That's it. Want to be anointed? Want to be anointed? I don't want to be anointed, huh? Love. God's not going to let you be anointed without you having a firm revelation of love because you'll kill somebody. He's not going to allow you to use his power. You know, authority without love becomes control. He's not going to allow you to do that or stand there or have that type of power if you don't have a revelation of love because you'll abuse the power. You misuse the power. Yeah, the nicest one is in the room. The nicest person in this room right now. I don't know who the nicest person is. Who the quote-unquote will be the nice. I know you'll be smiling big. I don't know who the nicest person in this room. But the nicest one of us will abuse the power without love. And love goes beyond us. And so we must approach. We know, so we get to the next page and write these chapters in the book. And I'm telling y'all now, I won't be very long at all. This clock now. You see that thing that says strategies to first rate reading? Freedom? Oh, that's some words, ain't it? It's deep, ain't it? But every single word, you can kind of look at them and see what they mean, but every single one of those are hinged on love. You know, love will make you read that way. You know, what you know about somebody's love? You're always on my mind. They had a song, you're always on my mind. Yeah. I don't know why I'm doing this, man. I don't know if Pastor Walker or anything. But they on your mind all the time. You can't stop thinking about it. So you read softly, and I, this first part of the next one, I get to it, but the first line in the next part about read softly, you know, talk about not, you know, you're studying the word, but it not being a bore, where, you know, because when does love become bored? Anytime you experience what you thought was love in your life, right? What is your bore? Oh, Lord. Do this love. I gotta go on another date. They calling me again, Lord Jesus. Nope, never been that way. Never been that way. It's always cool. I got this. Right? We look at that, we recite it. You can't sleep sometimes. You try to plan it. You try to make sure your phone's still on. You leave my phone at home. But you got to tell me what's going on. Right. You're thoughtful. You're thinking about them. You're always thinking about them. It's staying on your mind. Let's think about being you. Which was also in you? Christ Jesus, that's that mind of love. I can't get you off my mind. Now watch this. If you're not to the point where you can't get God off your mind, then maybe you need to spend a little bit more time. You know, it always begins with that. I'm not going to come out here talking about, you know, we all say it when we get born again. And we all jump on and say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. You know, we sing the songs and everything. I love the Lord. But truthfully, sometimes we ain't there yet. Sometimes we need to spend a little bit more time. But, you know, we spend a little overnight. No. You spend a little more time. We need to talk. I need to see your heart. Right? Now, it's really not just God's heart, because God's heart is perfect. But you just need to spend time with it. So what that does is that love of God starts being a magnet to the love that's on the inside of you. You have the same spirit God thought. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? On the inside of you. So that's a piece of God on the inside of you. That's a piece of love on the inside of you already. So watch this. That love is on the inside of you, but I need something to pull it out of me. To take my time to spend with God. Pull this love out of me. And make a love connection. Y'all, forgive me, please. I don't want to be fun. Make the love connection that can't be broken. What's the separating you from the love of God? Neither death nor death nor heart. I know what keeps going on. He said, nothing will separate me from the love of God. Nothing will ever separate me from the love of God, but I got to get to the love first. I got to get to know the love first. I remember, your set of time ain't nothing if you ain't approaching that way. And I'm going to say it again. Your prayer, your set of time, all that ain't nothing if you ain't approaching that way. Next time, and you know, we built up our routines. Understand? We built up the way we do things. We got to break down a little bit. I said last week, we got to break down a little bit. Break down our routine and start approaching the way we need to. Huh? We got to break down the way we've been doing and start approaching the way that we need to. So we can get what we're supposed to get from God. So now we're talking, we're repeating it, we're basically all the other reasons, and I ain't going to let that word mess me up when I go further down that. All those reasons. I really love to read thoughtfully, especially read thoughtfully. And we've said this before, but this type of observation requires you to assume the role of a biblical detective, searching for clues as to the meaning of a text. Now, you know, when you get to know somebody, watch this. I got to use this. When you get to know somebody, you search them out a little bit, huh? No, y'all just be like, they're the best person in the world. Look, you're the best. That's how y'all be, you the best. I'll go to Mars with you. I wouldn't be. You the best. No, you search them out. You gotta find out. Your friends know them, you ask your friends about them, don't you? And you spend a little time. You wanna see what's going on. You put on a little Facebook page and see what's going on. You're trying to see what's up, ain't you? And then, not only do you do that, you ask around, but then you talk to them until you ask a couple questions. So where you in school at? Oh, yeah? Oh, you know something, sir? Come on, y'all know how it works. Oh, okay. All right. That's a little nice relationship you have. That's it, right? How that work out for you, right? You get to know somebody. Who you talking to? You are biblical, you're a detective. And whatever biblical. But you're the detective. Y'all know, y'all be. Who is on the phone? What's that man out here? Who you? Oh, you talk to them? Oh, I know them, so all right. You're searching for clues. You know, this is what you're like, quick. Now, once again, you realize you're not approaching God looking for, because ain't nothing negative in him. So you're not a bit concealed looking for something. I'm trying to see, God, what is it that I don't see? What is it that you got that I don't see yet? You know what I'm saying? We think we know stuff when we know scripture. No. God, what is it that you can show me that I haven't seen? It's always from God to say that you've never seen before. You're detective. Looking for clues for me. I'll just read the second line. I just underlined stuff that jumped out to me. Feel like holding the master flute. It's going to be fine on hands and knees, touching the floor, the cigar as the footprint. Other times, he moves for hours, and I underline this, rolling things over and over in his mind. Sounds like meditation, don't it? Straining for answers. And I like the next guy said, the same way, finding clues in the biblical text demands more than one approach. The Bible must be read to be understood. Now, understand, when I say the Bible must be read to be understood, you have to read. And it says more than one approach, but you still have to approach. Everything has to be done. Purposeful, thoughtful, whatever it is, basically, it's got to be done rooted in love. The Bible? Read the Bible thoughtfully. And it says thoughtful reading involves study. Not boredom, far from it. Y'all remember what boredom is, all right? When you come to the Bible, put your thinking cap on. Now, do your Do you when you get to know somebody, do you just come in and just not think about what you're gonna say next? No, you plan out the whole conversation. You in the mirror talking to yourself to make sure that you don't mess up because you want to fuck, right, don't you? Tell her the truth. You thought it out, huh? True, baby. Put your thinking cap on. Don't be going to die. We become familiar. So we've been in church. How long have we been in church? I mean, forever for me. I don't remember not going to church. She's been here for a while. You think you know him? I started getting to know God until I was about a teenager. I was in church, and I God had grace on me. You know, I was under my parents' covering, but I didn't really get to start knowing him like in my late teens. That's when I really realized I had to spend some time. I knew of God. And knowing of God is better than not knowing of him. Grace and mercy, thank God for grace, right? Thank God for grace. But it gets to a point where you got to go deep. And I don't even know the next part, but it says, you know, the word of God doesn't yield its fruit to the lazy. And it says the treasure is not sitting on top of the ground. You ain't never seen that, huh? You got to go deep. You got to go. Sometimes when you're trying to get the love, you got to have a deep conversation. Huh? You can have the most shallow conversation and think you're going to get somewhere, huh? You like cookies? I like cookies too. No. We gotta talk about some real stuff now. What do you think about Jesus? You think we're there? Huh? Y'all know. Oh, you don't think that, right? What y'all believe in? These conversations to get to the love. Right? What do you think that's all? I'll tell you on the next page, it does not apply the same mental discipline that you would to any subject. In which you take a what? What kind of interest? What kind of interest? What is about interest? Huh? It's important. It's necessary. It's almost like my life depends on it. Vital interest. So you use the same mental discipline that you would to any subject. Now we back to this love thing. Not because you just got interested in this person or whatever it is, right? You get interested, not. Now you put mental discipline because you're vital, you're interested. So you're the same mental discipline. Stop treating the word of God like it's something different. Like it's some other thing. Like it's some other, you know, we compartmentalize the word of God. We compartmentalize our faith. We compartmentalize our love of God. We compartmentalize our relationship with God to this space right here. But no, it is not in this space right here. It is in the space everywhere. Are y'all with me? So I can't approach other things. What you like? Tell the truth. What you really, really like? What you do every week? And I'm not talking about read the word. And I don't want to know that part. I'm talking about what is it that you just like to do? You just own it. You just, right? Rachel like music, right? You just own it, right? Approach the same way. And I'm just using it for a good reason. Rachel being here, and we'll be working and doing some different things. And they say, all right, well, you know, we just stand there, right? He said, all right, well, I'm going to go home. And we're leaving. It's 11 o'clock, almost midnight. Everybody, we've been working. We're leaving. I'm going to go home and play for 2-3 hours. Thanks. Love it. First thing, right? I was doing music. I still do it sometimes, but when I was in school, when I first started doing music, it took me over so much, and I was so ingrained in it. And I was gone, man. It was the most unhealthy thing in the world, but I was gone. At the time, I was going to LSU, and my younger brother was in high school, going to school in Baton Rouge, and I would come to, and I was working here too, by the way, that time. And so, I don't know how much work I was doing. This was a young dude, you know, you mess around. But I would come here and do whatever I got to do during the day. I'd go to class, do whatever I got to do. And I'd come here about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the evening, and I would just stay there and work on music, and just write and work hard. Till 6 o'clock the next morning, no lie. And I leave at 6, I go home, sleep about 30 minutes, get up, bring my little brother to school, go do a 3-hour radio show in the car on the way to school, and then go to class. Still a nap every now and then, I don't know where I was at, still there, and I was sleeping in the car, and then come back and do it again the next night. So I had to realize that the same way I approached that, I got to approach this mother. the same zeal that I had for that. And you know, I got kind of good at it. I got all right at it because I was spending time with it. I ain't gonna lie. I got all right. Like, I started learning how to stuff work, and I got kind of got a little better at it because I was spending time with that thing. Love will make you grow in something. Love will make something grow in you. Like whatever you love, it'll make you grow. Whatever. So now I realize I start spending something. Okay, it was there, and I lost our dinner. And say, hey, you too much time over there. You too much time talking to that girl over there. You too much time doing other stuff. Hold on, what's your God? Who is it? Who's your God? Don't talk to me like that. Anybody who's in the studio all night? What about me? Why you get sleepy when you're on your body? So you start praying in tongues, son of my son. That's 200. It's 200 down the road. Right? But we got to break through that. You know what I'm saying? You only break through that by spending time. Right? So approach everything with love. Right? I'm not going to read no more. Bible does not give the truth is lazy. Talk about Proverbs 2:4. And a couple of lines. It says, in other words, biblical wisdom is like precious oil. It is not found lying around on the surface. But where? And it says, for millennium people walk good analogy for our own day. Watch this. It'll be the many oil deposits in the parched deserts of the Middle East. For millennia, people wandered across those trackless wastes, unaware that only a few thousand feet away lay resources of unimaginable value. How much word have you been walking across? You been walking in the word, right? That's what we do, walking the word, right? Come here, I'm walking the word, right? How long have we been walking across the word, but ain't been getting nothing from it? Because we ain't been digging deep enough. Because we just got to dig a little. Because you got to drill. Because you got to spend time. You know, when they go drill for oil, they don't get it on the first day. They cut a whole chop. It's not oil. You don't drill, they get all they know. They have to work at it. Spend time. Approaching love. Amen. Y'all got exams. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all that good stuff. Y'all going to have exams on the 6th, I think. And then we go back to class on the 13th, so y'all enjoy that time off. No. See y'all later.